This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up your whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and we talked about already, Jesus is the truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, we rely on him and his goodness and his holiness. And as the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, you can't give what you don't have. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which we talked about last week, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And today, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplications. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. There are some clothing we usually never forget to wear, right? It would not take me very long to realize as I'm walking out the door that I need my shoes. I don't know, are any of you like me that you just like to wear shoes? Now, there's some people I know that just like to go barefoot. Any barefoot people? Yeah, so there's all over the place. It's a strange thing for me. I had a friend that she grew up in Bristol, Florida, not too far from here. And she said she would literally walk to the store, you know, the convenience store, barefoot. And I'm like, I can't even imagine that. So I don't like walking barefoot. And so I'm always wearing shoes, even in the house. I'll wear, you know, like sandals or slippers around the house, but it's never barefoot, especially outside. I think one time, maybe it happened a long, long time ago, when we were living in Long Island, New York. My brother was in charge of getting rid of the old, the charcoal, and he was supposed to throw it away, so he just threw it in the yard. And unbeknownst to me, I walked right over burning coals. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know. You can blame my brother for something. But sometimes clothing can be seen in certain clothing as accessories. With the shoes, you're getting to know me a lot. I have to wear socks. Maybe that I remember back in the when I was in middle school, boat shoes. I think some of you still wear them. They started out in the 70s and 80s, and I would wear no socks, and I could almost still smell the shoes. So I'm always wearing socks. But some things you might think you need, but you forget, like a tie. I have been to events where I forgot to bring a tie. Just recently, I walked into this dinner event at Southeastern, and the elevator opens, and I see everybody wearing a coat, and I just backed up, closed it, ran to my truck, grabbed a coat, and put it on. Sometimes that happens. Maybe you forget to bring a jacket to church, and you're going to be freezing to death this morning. Sometimes people will do that, will forget. But there are some articles of clothing you never forget, right? For me, the socks, and it might be some other things that we can imagine you would never leave the house with. But again, for me, I'll always wear shoes and I'll always have socks. But those are something I absolutely need. But I may forget to wear a tie. I may forget to, something else, you know, belt. Every blue moon, I might forget to wear a belt. But today, we want to talk about putting on the whole armor of God. It is not optional clothing. It's not something like a tie or a belt or something like that. It is something that the Lord is calling us to put on all the time. There are two types of people. I'll repeat it again at the end. Those who are prepared and those who are not. So the question that we have to answer, and are we part of the camp that recognizes that the putting on the whole armor of God, the garment that God is calling us to put on, is absolutely necessary, or something as an accessory, you know, a tie, a belt, or whatever else we might think of. So where does the category of the helmet come in? Where does the helmet of salvation come in? Is it I can't leave without it, or I'll put it in the back of the car in case I need it? I am here to impress upon you, I pray that the Holy Spirit really impresses upon you, that it is not an accessory. It's not something you just forgot to take with you as you left the house quickly. There's this old opera, and if you ever want to watch it, I cannot vouch for the whole thing. I only seen a snippet. And the snippet, the opera is called The Princess of Ida. And there's a line in this opera, and it says, the helmet, and I'm not going to sing it to you, all right? The helmet, I suppose, was meant to ward off blows. It's very hot, and it weighs a lot, as many guardsmen know, as many guardsmen knows, and as many guardsmen knows, and as many guardsmen knows. So off goes the helmet, it goes. And then there's a choir that sings back, yes, yes, yes. So off the helmet goes. And then he talks about his armor, the cuirass. And he says, this tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mass. It's made of steel and weighs a deal, this tight-fitting cuirass. It's but a useless mass. A man is but an donkey who fights in this cuirass. So off it goes, so off it goes, so off goes the cuirass. In this particular opera, he is saying, I don't need it. It's too heavy. It's too hot. It's too cumbersome. But when you're in a battle, what would you prefer? Would you prefer the helmet of salvation or some knit cap that maybe somebody made for you to keep you warm? So what is this Christian helmet? If you have your Bibles, it's based out of Isaiah 59:17. This whole put on the armor of God. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, what is this helmet? The hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. I did not coordinate with Miss Rosa. I didn't ask her, hey, Miss Rosa, I'm going to be preaching on this message. So it'd be really cool if you came up and maybe gave a verse, a message that would coordinate with my sermon. And I didn't even coordinate with Bryce in the song selection. But let me just tell you, the Lord is weaving something together. The hope of salvation. For God did not destine us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. It's amazing in our culture what the hope of salvation has meant to the general population. Some people think the hope of their salvation is just cross your fingers and pray to God, you know, cross your heart and all that, and hope they make it. And there's been some surveys throughout the years, and this survey's already dated, but in 1944, 76% of the people in the country believed there was life after death. In 2014, it shrunk down to 73%. In 1944, 13% did not believe in life after death, and now has increased to 17%. In 1944, 66% of the people believed in hell, and now only, increase, 67% believed in hell. But it's interesting. So a little bit more people did not believe in hell. The confusion is how the question was asked. But I imagine it's a little bit more that no longer do people believe in the afterlife or heaven or in hell. But what is this helmet of salvation? Is it something we cross our fingers, hope to die, that nothing bad happens to us? Or is it something more than that? I would say it's more than that. It's not just some finger-crossing kind of thing. If St. Peter was at the gate and he asked you why you should be led into heaven, what would you say? What would you say? Well, I was a good person. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Peter says, instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope, your salvation as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Could you explain it? If someone were to say, hey, I notice you have this hope of salvation, explain it to me. The Bible tells us that we need to be ready to explain it. So I pray that you know, some people I imagine would talk about the goodness, how they helped grandma cross the street, or, they gave some money to a charitable donation, nonprofit organization. And then typically people will talk about how bad or not bad they are compared to, you know, their neighbors or someone else. And they're really not that bad. But the question is, what would happen if, you know, your thoughts and your actions behind closed doors were to be displayed on a big screen? All of us would probably be somewhat embarrassed. And our hope is in Jesus, amen? In 1 John 5:13, I have written this to for you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Our helmet of salvation, our blessed hope, is that we know because of what Jesus did, we will have eternal life. I can tell you this. I can tell you this emphatically. We can have assurance in this, that God never lies. God never lies. I can be assured in God's character and his goodness, and we sang about it today, and that God never lies. In 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So what is this blessed hope, this helmet of salvation? Is that we can have assurance that God never lies. And he says here, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So if I rely on my best efforts and I cross my fingers, you'll have your fingers crossed and legs crossed to rely on. But if I rely on Jesus, I am assured, because God never lies, and we just read it, whoever has the Son has life. There's a quote by A.W. Tozier. It's not an exact quote, but it's something I try to live by. But same thing, same principle. When you go before the Lord and you try to defend yourself, you're not going to have anyone else for your defense but yourself. And I would have to say, good luck. But if you go before God and he's judging you, and you have no one else but Jesus defending you, you will have Jesus defending you, and we could be assured, amen, that we will have right standing before the Lord because of Christ. So we put our faith in Jesus. Our lives will display what we have put our faith in Jesus. our lives will begin to show that we have been born again. I'd like to challenge some of you. We're going to make room for people to share their testimony. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes. It could be 5 minutes. But part of that testimony, if I were to share mine, I could tell you what I was like before Christ, and I could tell you what my life is like after Christ. I have been born again. Our faith is in Christ and his work on the cross, not me doing nice things. Doing nice things is a result of what Jesus did on the cross. And this is why the helmet of salvation is so important. It's not an accessory, like a belt. What's the tie with the little bolo? I need to get one of those. It's not a bolo. It's not an accessory. We either put it on, like the word tells us to put it on, or we use it as an accessory. And just like that little opera, you know, when you're in the middle of the battle, you better have your armor on already. It's not an accessory. We wear the helmet because we can have confidence in Christ. Our solid hope is in Jesus. The helmet has two purposes: to protect us from blows, but also to provide confidence. I play in an old man soccer league, and there's a couple of guys that are new to the league, and they're very aggressive. And I would wear shin guards. And some of these guys, and you're not at our age, you're not allowed to slide tackle. You can't come in hard and none of that. We've already been there and done that. The shin guards give me a little confidence to play a little bit more aggressive than I normally would. And you have to with, you know, guys that are playing crazy. So it protects us, the helmet, but it also builds confidence. Not in my own life, but in Christ. The confidence is in Jesus, not me and my abilities. It's in him. The confidence is that he loves us. Amen. He loves you. I hope you don't ever doubt how much he loves you. He loves you so much, he wants to shape you. Amen. I see little kids now. I've seen them throughout, little toddlers wearing these white helmets. I guess they're there to shape the head. Have you seen those? Yeah. I'm thinking, man, everybody's going to look the same in the future. But that's what the helmet does. It shapes us. Jesus is not done completing the task. He wants us to wear this helmet for protection, but also to build confidence in him. He wants to finish the work in us. It's not like, you know, have you ever seen some manicured lawns? You know, that person has put a lot of work into, not my yard. But God wants to finish his work. He wants to make you someone that you've been destined and designed to be. Jesus is working in us, so put on this helmet of salvation. This is what I have confidence in, 1 John 4:17. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. We can have confidence when we put on the helmet of salvation. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're almost done. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, and has now been revealed to his holy sons of men and other apostles and prophets of the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. We are now partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Amen? So put on the full armor of God. I have to. There's not a day that I try to remember. It's not an accessory. It's something I need to put on, the belt of truth. And we're not going to, I'll finish up later on about the sword. But again, we are grateful for God's word and in allowing us to use it for his, for protecting and for victory in our lives. There are times where I feel like I've been attacked by the enemy. And it talks about praying in the spirit, and I'll just pray in the spirit because I don't know what to pray for. And the spirit will just utter words, and I'll just pray unto the Lord. But trust his word, proclaim scriptures, just begin to claim the truth and remind myself who I am and who I belong to. So if Jesus defeated death, which he did, then he's more able to defeat the attacks of the enemy in your life and in my life. We know that the end game of the devil is what? To kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill your body. Matthew 10:28 says, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body." So we know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 16:22, the enemy wants to kill your joy, your peace. "So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of your joy." Has anybody been robbed of their joy this week? I was on I-4 this week. The enemy wants to destroy your faith. Philippians 1:6. "And I am certain that God, who began that good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." Amen? Amen. Amen. So put on that helmet of salvation. Our confidence is in Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come on up, if you could. We're going to wrap it up. Hey, today's a little bit shorter service. The kids are downstairs playing. We're just going to have snacks downstairs if you like. It's not a 2-3 hour fellowship. It's just fellowship for a few minutes, enjoy each other's company, and then and go home. But I'm going to pray that before we do that, while the kids are having fun, that we would make sure that we're reminded to put on the full armor of God. To put on the full armor of God. Some of us have been struggling with our faith. And I want to pray for you with every eye closed, head bowed. Say, "Pastor Mark, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand." And it's okay. Listen, I could be raising my hand right now. But right now you say, "Pastor Mark, I'm struggling with my faith. Sometimes I'm wondering if I'm even saved." If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Amen. I have been there. Lord Jesus, we pray right now. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but in you. Lord, I pray for our family members in our fellowship, Lord, that struggling, maybe for whatever reasons, Lord, that they would continue to put on that helmet of salvation, our blessed hope in you, that you love us, care for us, you died on the cross for us. And Lord, even though maybe we're struggling because of circumstances or with doubt, that doesn't change how much you love us. Jesus has the long game in mind. So maybe you're in this season, but Jesus has a long, long game in mind. He's going to walk with you during these times. He won't abandon you. He won't abandon us. Lord, maybe some of us in this room have stopped praying because of whatever. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just rekindle that desire to just be with you, to have communion with you. Lord, I need it every day. Lord, thank you. You're not a liar. Tell the truth. You are truth. And Lord, you've told us. That we can have confidence on the day of judgment because of you. Whoever has a son has life. Lord, you never lie, so thank you, Father. Thank you for encouraging us through your Holy Spirit to put on the whole armor of God. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and stand.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you liked what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.